A couple of weeks ago, right after Rav Vadya Yosef Zichrono Livracha passed away, Yeshiva University, as many other yeshivas throughout the world, held hespedim in the yeshiva for Maran Harav Ovadia. And the hespedim in Yeshiva University were given by Rav Ben Chaim Shlita and Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita. Rav Mordechai Willig mentioned in his hesped that everyone should really read the Hakdama to Yabia Omer Chelek Aleph. Now that happened to have been the day right after we had learned through the Hakdama to Tara Tabayit, so we were familiar with Rav Vadya's Hakdamas, but once Mori Virabi, Rav Willig, said that we should learn the Hakdama to Yabia Omer Chelek Aleph, and we do a Hakdama Shir once a week anyway, I figured it's a no-brainer, we have to do the Hakdama to Yabia Omer Chelek Aleph. So to read the entire thing inside will stretch beyond the normal amount of time that we allot for Shir, but we'll read chunks of it inside and at least say outside all of the points that Rav Avadia tries to make. Rav Avadia pretty much in Hakdama, he has Hakdama to each volume of Yabia Omer, and he has what to say different in each Hakdama to each volume of Yabia Omer. In some of them he discusses the differences between Sephardim and Ashkenazim, and how the Ashkenazi women have prevailed upon the Sephardi women, much to his chagrin, to start making brachos and mitzvah shazman grama, and he talks about whatever was on his mind that relates to something kolyistic, something that's a more general type of topic. But in Chelek Aleph, he really lays out his shita in learning, what he thinks we should be focusing on when we learn Torah, what our approach should be toward Gemara, toward Rishonim, toward Achronim. So it's really his mission statement in terms of how one should go about learning. So first of all, this is a Hakdama to a Shalat Tshuva Sefer. It's a Hakdama to a Sefer of Piskei Halacha for a variety of people. So he starts out by telling us that in order to Paskin Halacha Lamaisa, one needs, let's read at least the first part inside, Horeinu Rabbeinu B'Yerushalmi, our rabbis taught us in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Kol Torah she'in la beis av in a Torah. Any Torah that's not based on something previous, on an earlier well-founded sources, is not Torah. V'hishmianu, and what they're telling us is, ki ein lahoros halach lemaisa, ella al pi yisodos ne'emanim b'talmud. One should never paskin halach lemaisa unless he has foundations in the Gemara. If a person tries, and we've discussed this many times, if a person tries to paskin halacha because he read something in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, in the Chayi Yadam, even in the Mishnah Brura, that is not how we paskin halacha. That we paskin halacha when we learn through the sugya and the Gemara, as we've done in a few shiurim this year, where we learn through the sugya and the Gemara, we carry it through the Rishonim onto the pages of the Shulchan Aruch, then of course into the Achronim, the Sifrei Achronim, like the Mishnah Brura and the others. But it has to be al pi yisodos ne'emanim b'talmud. It has to be based on a background in the Gemara. He goes on to say in the paragraph, lo nitkenu alachos ketuos l'shanin behem el l'misha lomid hashas kulo va'osik bo. And he says, all of these svarim. So what? The Chayi Adam didn't know how to learn when he wrote a brief Kitzur Sefer. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch didn't know how to learn. Why are they writing these little svarim for us if we're not supposed to paskin from them anyway? Why did the Shulchan Aruch do it? Shulchan Aruch wrote a Shulchan Aruch. If you're not supposed to paskin straight from the Shulchan Aruch, if you're supposed to know from the Gemara. So he said, no, they wrote these svarim because they were assuming that we need like a quick chazara. It's like once you've actually read the Gemara and you've gone through the Torah Beis Yosef and you know what the Rishonim basically say. So then as a good way of chazara, you can... How do I know that the Shulchan Aruch wrote it for that purpose? Because we learned once the Hakdama to the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch says in his Hakdama that that's exactly what his Kavana is. He said he wrote the Shulchan Aruch so that one can review all of Halacha every 30 days. One can review all of Halach every 30 days. How do you review all of Halach every 30 days? Just read through the Shulchan Aruch. It's so short. It's so quick. Nowadays, we have so many Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, and there's so much added in. But the actual words of the Shulchan Aruch, not so much. You read through every 30 days, you'll be able to chazar all of Halach. But it's chazara. It's only once a person already has Yesodos Ne'emonim B'Talmud. Someone has based on the Gemara. Then in the second paragraph, he says, what about Rishonim? What's our attitude toward the learning of Rishonim? So he quotes from a tshuva, Rimigash, Simon Kuf Yodalib, in the second line, Sheila. Someone asked Rimigash the following Sheila. My Yomer Adonenu, Beish She'en Yodea Derech Halacha, Lo Kriyasa Velo Perusha. Let's say you have a guy that doesn't really know Halacha, he doesn't know how to learn Halacha, he doesn't know how to develop Halacha. Ela shara harbe mitshuvas hagaonim, but he's seen a lot of the tshuvas hagaonim, so he knows what poskim say. He just doesn't know how it got there. Umisha eno maven ikra din velo makorim in a Talmud. A guy doesn't know what the source in the Gemara is for anything. He just knows what the latest tshuvas for him have to say about everything. Imhu mutu lahoros. So they asked the Rimigash, is such a person allowed to paskin a halacha? You have a lot of people like this nowadays. People who write svarim. They write svarim on halacha lemaisa, but it's clear that they don't know the gemaras that are behind those halachas. But they know every last bit of information that's given over by achronim and achronim. I once quoted such a sefer, and in an article I wrote, and I sent the article to Rav Schechter for review, and he sent me back the article, and he said, you should never quote this sefer, because he says, I met the author once. He writes, "V'lo nispa'alti." I wasn't impressed when I spoke to the author. He says his whole derech and psak is off. His whole derech and psak is always to paskin only from the achronim, and he never from the rishonim and from the gemara. So it's totally off. You can't trust a posek like that. So that's the shaila. Someone asked the Rimigash, can you trust such a posek? Can you listen to someone halacha lemaisa if he knows what the most contemporary svarim in the times of the Rimigash, the most contemporary svarim, the sifrei hagaonim say, but you don't know what the gemara says? So tshuva says the Rimigash, da. Shoish hazeh ro'i lahatir lo lahoros yoser me'anashim rabim shakavu atzim lahoros b'zman hazeh. He says, granted, it's terrible, it's wrong that the guy has no background in Shas, and he bases his halacha just on the tshuvas hagaonim, but I'd rather have that guy than the reverse, than a guy who only knows the Gemara and doesn't know what any of the Gaonim and the Rishonim say. V'rubam ein behem lo havana, v'rubam ein behem lo havanas ha'alacha, v'lo amid al das ha'gaonim, v'osim shem dam lahoros mechozik yunam b'talmud, heim sharoi lemanam izeh. He says, the people that think that they know how to learn Gemara in such a way where they don't need Rishonim and they're going to come to halachic conclusions based on the Gemara alone, those are the people we need to stop from paskening halachos. There's no one alive nowadays who can do that anymore. We need Rishonim to develop the halacha. We can't just look at the Gemara and determine what the halacha is going to be straight from the Gemara. Nowadays, what's nowadays? These are the times of the Rimigash. When did the Rimigash live? Rimigash was, the Rambam calls the Rimigash his Rebbe. He wasn't really his Rebbe, because the Rimigash died when the Rambam was 5 years old. So he couldn't have, I mean, the Rambam was probably a precocious child, but still, that precocious, I don't think anybody is. But he was, in some way, the Rambam was inspired by the Rimigash. Rimigash was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father. So then there's a legend of the meeting that the Rambam had with the Rimigash on his deathbed, where the Rimigash gave him a bracha, that he's going to be a great light in Klal Yisrael, he's going to be a great eagle for the Jewish people, and which in fact obviously came true. But anyway, this is in times of Rishonim he's writing, and he's saying, now in times of Rishonim, there's no one who could paskin just straight from the Gemara. So Kal v'chomer, Ben Oshel, Kal v'chomer nowadays, that there's no one that's going to have the chutzpah, or that should have the chutzpah to paskin straight from the Gemara. Of course, there are people who do, and that's wrong. We need to paskin based on Rishonim and based on the development of the halacha. The in fact, Rav Avadia goes on to quote later in the paragraph from a Tshuvas HaRosh, Klal Lamed Aleph Simen Tes. See, about 10 lines into the paragraph, V'zel Lashonu, the Tshuvas HaRosh writes as follows: Kol Amorim Haros Mitoch Divrei Rambam Zal Ve'in Bekiim BeGemara L'Das Meichan Otzi Dvarav. Even people who paskin straight from the Rambam without knowing the Gemara, says the Rush, they're also making mistakes. They're asering that which is mutter and mattering that which is asr. Because the nature of the Rambam is he wrote his Sefer without any explanation for why what he's saying what he's saying, without any proofs that to his halachos. So you read the book, you think you understand it, if you don't learn the Gemara, you don't really understand the Rambam. It's funny that the Rush says that, because the Rambam, seems to say otherwise, right? The Rambam in his Hakdama to his Sefer says, you don't need a Gemara if you can have my Sefer, meaning just to know what to do. If you want to know what to do, you just need a Tanakh and you need my Sefer, that's it. But the Rosh says that's not to be relied upon. One should not rely on that without a thorough understanding of what goes into that Psak Halacha, yeah? So he's going to get into why he quotes all the achronim, like he quotes an astonishing number of achronim. That not everybody has to do. Meaning, we find the majority of poskim don't do that. There are many poskim, many poskim quote rishonim and shulchan aruch, and they develop a mahalich. But we'll see. He's going to explain his attitude toward achronim. He's not there yet. He's developing slowly. And he points out that there's a Gemara in Sota like this, Hamorin halacha mitoch mishnas an harein mevalei olam, that people who are mora halacha, just based on what they learn quickly, are destroying the world. And the Marsha and the Chidush HaGadol over there writes, Ubedoros halalu, in our generations, osam shemorim halacha mitoch hashulchan aruch, people who pass an halacha straight from Shulchan Aruch, v'arei hein einam yodim tama inyan shel kol davar, im lo yidaktiku b'davar mitoch ha-talmud, shushim ishtomid ha-chamim, if they just get it from the Shulchan Aruch and they don't know the Gemara is behind it, to'us nofel b'ra'asam, v'arein b'chal mevalei olam. Marsha says that's what the Gemara is talking about. Those kinds of people are ruining the world because they're constantly making mistakes. We should get angry at such people. We should stop people from such people from passing. You have to realize, he says, that in the third paragraph, he says, you have to know, the Gemara tells us, Tova tzipornim shel rishonim mikresom shel achronim, the fingernail of the earlier generations are more impressive than the bulk of the body of the later generations, meaning the earlier generations were much, much greater than us, and we can't be barushein lahakel rosh kenegdam. We can't treat it lightly to be samech on our own judgments from the Gemara without knowing what the Rishonim have to say about it. The only time you could ever argue on a Rishon, he says, is if you have a Raya Brura, that you're 100% correct, you're 100% sure that you have a Raya Brura min a Talmud, you have a clear Raya from the Gemara that they're wrong. And he says, that doesn't happen. You don't have that. We never have that anymore. So at the end of the day, he says, we will never be able to be Docha Divrei Rishonim. We can never argue on Rishonim. He says, Adrabe, mi yitain v'niska lahavin Divreim HaKadoshim. Our job is we should be zocha, we should be so lucky to understand what they say. To reject what Rishonim say? Absolutely not. And he quotes from the Arzurua, quoted in Dark Emotion, Simon and Zion, in Yoredeya, where he says, Omer ani Yitzchak bar Moshe, the Arzurua says, ah, Yitzchak bar Moshe, hine ha-go'onim shakasu en l'dayin el mashen of Rose, hu Rashi zal. When Rashi says that ein l'dayin el mashen of Rose, that a person can only pass based on what he understands, based on what he sees, you call it like you see it, and you don't have to rely on what people before you said. You have to just call it like you see it. Yeah, that's Rashi. Uludorohu shekasav. Uluchayotze bedoro. So if you're like Rashi, or you're like people in his generation, you could live your life with that motto of Ein Ladayon, Elamasha in of Ro'os. Shaisabem Toro Gdolo Brura V'chachma Yisera. They had such clarity in Torah, such chachma, that they were able to paskin like that. But Aval Achshav, Biyameinu, Shabavonoseinu Rab Nismata HaTorah V'avda HaChachma Mishabeach Anias HaAtzlonim Shalo Yismuch V'al Chachmasam V'al Yoru LaHakel. So he said, nowadays where we don't have that kind of Chachma, I'd much rather people not rely on their own Chachma to be makel on anything. V'yikablu Schar Al Aprisha Yosem Radrisha. They'll get more Schar for not paskening than they will for yes paskening. So he says, so adds Rav Avadia, that's what the Darkei Moshe writes from the Arzurua. V'kolshkena idna the achsudari, where the generation's much, much worse. Of course, we can't paskin against Rishonim. We can never argue on Rishonim. All of our effort in learning should be spent in trying to figure out what the Rishonim hold, not to try to figure out if they are correct or not, because they are correct. We just have to figure out what they hold. Even when you have a machlokas, you try to figure out who's right, who's wrong. So if you think that you have an explanation why the Rambam's right, the Ravid's wrong, it means you now have to work on the Ravid. You need to figure out what the Ravid's was, right? You always have to figure out what the Rishonim, that's the Derech in learning, that we figure out what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas in the Rishonim, that if there's a Machlokas in the Rishonim, it's not that one's right, one's wrong, it's that there are two ways to view this Sugya, and there's a logical reason to view it one way and a logical reason to view it the other way, and we should try to always figure out what the point of Machlokas is really about.
It's with especially Balabatim, right? Who want to learn Halacha Sefer. talking about Dafka learning the background, right? If you pick up a Kitchen Shulchan Aruch, right? And you want to know the Maisa, what the Halacha is, right? Kitchen Shulchan Aruch is important, I think.
Right.
So, saying, why is it necessarily wrong? Because the Kitchen Shulchan Aruch got it from the
Rishon. He's saying two different things. The first thing he said is if you're going to pask it. He didn't say you're learning.
Oh, if you're going
to
pask
it. Yeah, if you want to pask in Shailas, you need to know what's in the Gemara. Now he's saying, in general, when our attitude in learning toward Rishonim should be that we should always try to understand the Rishonim, not argue the Rishonim.
Only passing Shailas.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and our attitude toward learning, that when we learn, in terms of Rishonim, you want to learn a Chai Adam, you want to learn a Kitz Shulchanach, Gvaldik, wonderful. Just don't pass in Shailas. Don't think that you're a Posek because you know the Kitz Shulchanach backwards and forwards. It doesn't make a person a Posek. Then, in paragraph number 4, in Os Dalid, he says, you know, there's a big problem that nowadays people talk with a lot of chutzpah. They don't realize who the Rishonim are. And they talk, he says, Kasher Yedaber Ishal Re'ehu. They talk to a Rishon like they're talking to their friend. Like, you know, as if they could argue with the Rishonim. Pnei Zekenim Lo Nedru. They don't pay proper respect to the Zekenim, to the Rishonim. And he says, and that causes people to argue on the Rishonim, and they end up sounding like fools when they do so. He quotes a Rush in the fourth paragraph of Sanhedrin that says in the name of the Ravid that even if a Dayan is cholik on a psak of a gon, that's called the Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. Meaning, if you say, the Gemara talks about different types of mistakes a court can make, a Bezin can make. There's what's called the Toa B'Shikul Adas, and the Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. Toa B'Shikul Adas means a judgment error. That some posts can say this way, some posts can say this way. The minig is to follow the first shita, and you didn't realize that that's the minig, and you paskin like the second shita. Both legitimate shitas. That's called Toa B'Shikul Adas. What's Toa B'Dvar Mishnah? Toa B'Dvar Mishnah is there's a Mishnah Beferish that says this is Aser, and you don't know the Mishnah, so you say that it's Mutter. That's a Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. That is a horrible error, right? It's clearly a wrong type of error. So the Acharon discussed, the Rishonim already discussed, Toa B'Dvar Mishnah, does that mean that it's only if it's a Beferish a Mishnah? What if it's a Beferish a Gemara? What if it's a Beferish a Halach and Shulchan Aruch? And you just didn't know, so you passed it against a Beferish a Halach. So the Rush says, in his times, before the Shulchan Aruch was written, they had the Pesachim of the Gaonim. The Rosh said, if you didn't know one of the Pesachim of the Gaonim and you passed directly against it, that's called the Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. Meaning, if there's an accepted body of literature that everyone says that this is what you need to know to paskin, and you don't know it when you paskin, and therefore you paskin against it, even if it's not a Mishnah, even if it's the Shulchan Aruch, that's called the Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. And he says, quotes from the Chuvus Maram Alshker in Siman Nun Gimel, Ein yachas ledoros elu imarishonim afilu ki yachas hakof imaha adam. That we have to realize that our relationship to the times of the Rishonim, to the people, to the Gedolei Rishonim, is not even the discrepancy between us and the Rishonim is greater than the discrepancy between a monkey and a human being. So that should be our attitude. That's how much respect we should have for the Doros Rishonim. And he says, Davar Charif, he quotes from the Chuvas Ginas Varadim at the end of paragraph 4, that's 7 lines before the end, Shehevi Mashir Ishu Rabbanei Doro ala Pri Chadash. People got very upset at the Pri Chadash in the generation of the Ginas Varadim. Shekasav Lachol Kal Rishonim, because the Pri Chadash a lot of times argues on Rishonim. The Kasav Sha'osakein Mezalzel Bekavod Gedolei Yisrael, the Gedol Avonim Inso, that anyone who argues on Rishonim has too big an Avera that he could possibly bear. Shali Dezei Yirbu Avadim Amispartzim Ba'adonehem, you're going to cause all the Avadim to rebel against their masters, that's speaking figuratively, meaning all of us who are not nowhere near on the level of the Rishonim, to start rebelling against the Rishonim. Ki ilmedu ha'amon lefakfek ulezalzel b'divra Rishonim. You're going to teach people that they could be mezalzel in the divra Rishonim, that they don't have to pay careful attention to the divra Rishonim. Sometimes you have people give shiurim, and the regular balabatim, they love it. They love when you say, oh, look, Rashi's wrong, or the Rambam's wrong. You see, I have this great kasha. And what's that teaching them? It's teaching them to disrespect Rashi. It's not the Rambam's wrong. So I don't understand what the Rambam is saying. Let's work on it. Let's try to figure it out. And the idea is to develop a mahalich. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell the story about when he was a little boy. He used to listen in when his father would give shiurim to Bachrim that would come to the house. So his father would always say over a Rambam, ask a million kashas in the Rambam, and then try to farempret the Rambam. He would try to give an answer, try to give a mahalich in the Rambam. And one time his father couldn't answer the Rambam. He had such bomb kashas on the Rambam. So Rav Soloveitchik went crying to his mother. He was crying, and his mother said, "Beryl, what's the matter? Why are you crying?" And he said, "Tati couldn't. He couldn't answer the Rambam. The Rambam's stuck. The Rambam's trapped. He's not gonna." So what did the father say? "Oh, the Rambam must be wrong." No, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik didn't say like that. The Rambam's never wrong. It's not that the Rambam's wrong. It's that Nebuch, we couldn't defend him. We didn't know what to do with him. So his mother, like a great mechaneches that she was, says to him, "Don't worry, Beryl. Whatever Rambam's your father can't answer, one day you're going to be able to answer. That's going to be your job. That he's leaving you some Rambams to work on." So, but that's our approach. That we work on trying to figure out what they say. Vim klape ha'arez asher b'levanon rabbeinu aprichadashi tichu dvarim kashim kigidim v'yisnagu sham imo b'chol chomer adin. He says, and think about this: if they attack the prichadash, one of the gedolei olam, they attack him because they think he speaks with too much chutzpah against the rishonim. So what are we going to say? We're going to, some rabbi in our generation is going to get up and talk about the Rishonim and argue against the Rishonim? Can't be. It's not something that should even be in our vocabulary, in the realm of possibility, to argue on Rishonim. So he says, let me tell you the proper derech hapsak. Now in Osei, he gets to, okay, so now that we've established that we need to have a firm basis in Gemara for everything that we say, and now that we've established that we have to have the utmost respect for Rishonim, we can never reject Rishonim, and we have to realize that we're like monkeys compared to the Rishonim. So now, how does one go about paskening halacha? So he says, in terms of how should our brains work? How much analysis goes into it? How much just straight reading? What do we do when it comes to paskening halacha? So he says, and this is something that you see very clearly in Rav Vadia's Derech HaPsak, that Derech HaPsak has to be based on a very straightforward analysis, a very straightforward way of looking at the sugya, not to be too creative, to be come up with all sorts of pilpulim and chidushim. And what do they say? Just clarify the shitos. What does the Rambam say? What does the Ravid say? How's the Shulchan Aruch paskening? Just clarify what each step of the process and what each shita is trying to get at. He quotes Ramban in his Hakdama to Melchemes Hashem, to the Melchamos, where the Ramban pretty much says this. He says, "We nasim kolma odenu v'da'atenu b'kol machlokas laharchik achas minadeus besvoros machrios." He says, the Ramban says, our job is just straight thinking. Analyze the machlokas in the Rishonim, machlokas in the Gemara, just by straight thinking, by straightforward kind of thinking, not by being overly creative and being mefalpel yoser midai by trying to come up with all sorts of chidushim. That has to be the derech hapsak. He says, when you see charifus and pilpul, that is not the derech to paskin halacha. One should stay away from such things when it comes to paskin halacha. In paragraph 6, he says, and it's therefore the responsibility of the Gedolei Yisrael and the Rosh Yeshivos di b'chal asar v'asar, in every place, to make sure that their talmidim know how to learn. And talmidim knowing how to learn doesn't mean that they say a fantastic chiddush, that they can ask 500 kashas and answer it with one chiddush. No, knowing how to learn means that they know how to think clearly, how to analyze the sugya. This is what the Rishonim have to say about it. This is what they're arguing about. This is what the Achronim have to say about it. Just look through sugya carefully. He says, in that way, you'll be able to paskin a halacha. The Gemara in Kedushin says, "Gadol Talmud Shemevili De Maisa." That the whole our goal in learning should be Shemevili De Maisa. That it should be the Asuke Shmeitza Aliba De Hilchasa. That we should be able to come to conclusions la halacha, and particularly those halachos that constantly apply. And he writes in paragraph 6, in about the fifth or sixth line, "Umama od yesh litzar b'rosenu." He says, how much tsar it causes me to see, "Kama mivchirei bachurei Yisrael," how many of our finest minds amongst our young people, "hamevalim kol zmanim rak b'pulpulim shel hevel," they use all their time in learning in pulpulim shel hevel, in nothingness, in all these pulpulim and creativity, "mivli lahavchini michavnu devreim al piya halacha v'asvara yishara," without ever checking to see if what they're saying actually fits with the halacha and fits with svara hayishara. "V'chaval ma'od al kishrosoneim hamashirim," him, and he says it's such a chaval, it's such a shame, because they have such talent and they're wasting all this talent. That they could have used their talent and their knowledge for explaining halacha and for dealing with so many of the contemporary halachic shailas that come up. And instead of that, they're just involved in all sorts of pilpulim. So they're writing all these svarim and they're coming up with all these chidushim and all that. But these people could be poskim. They could be much better than that. They could be poskim. They could be dealing with things that Klal Yisrael really needs, which is an interesting thing. I mean, you would think he should be happy that they're learning. No, that's some brilliant minds are learning Torah. He says, no, but there's learning and there's learning. Meaning, if someone is capable of more, it's a lahavdil. I was just reading in Malcolm Gladwell's new book. You ever read Malcolm Gladwell? Yeah. He has a book called David and Goliath, where he was saying it's such a shame that so many people go to the best possible college that they could get into, and instead of the right one for them. And what happens? People who start off majoring in science can't hack it in the best colleges, so they drop out, and instead they'll major in business or law or something, and they'll become lawyers. So people who could have been physicists, you know, that's what the world really needs. And chaval, look, they're becoming lawyers. So what, is it a great tragedy if a person becomes a lawyer? It's not such a great tragedy, but from a certain intellectual perspective, you know, where you think science is gonna lead society forward, so we need talented people in that more than we need, he feels, in law. So says Rav Avadia Lahavdil, he says, yeah, it's not that it's the greatest tragedy that someone's in learning and he's a Rosh Yeshiva who says a nice shir, but it's a tragedy because he could be doing better. He could be Lasuke Shmaitza Libidi Hilchas, he could be leading Klal Yisrael in teaching us Halacha L'maisa. He says, about these people, I say they're leaving Chaye Olam and they're Osek B'Chaye Shah. Yeah, it's really geschmack. It's very geschmack when you say a pilpul. But Chaye Olam is our job on this earth. We have to be dealing with halacha. And he says, and when you have such a person who's trained in that way of thinking, when he needs to paskin something, he's not going to be able to do it. He's going to be thinking chidushim, and he's going to be thinking pilpulim, and he's not going to be able to paskin a halacha straight. And he says, that's what the Rambam writes in the fifth parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah, called Talmud Shlo Higia Lo Ro Mora Hareza Shota Rasha V'Gas Ruach. That any Talmud that's not able to paskin and decides to paskin anyway, he's a fool, he's wicked, and he's arrogant. And that's Kirabim Chalolim Hipila. So pretty strong words. This is what Rav Willig was referring to in the Hesped when he says, you read Rav Vadi, he's got some pretty strong words. Someone told me that they saw Rav Rosenzweig holding a Chelik Aleph of Yabia Omer right after Rav Willig's Hesped, and he said to Rav Willig on the way out, I'm afraid to read this. I know you said I have to, but I'm afraid to read this. I'm afraid to read what he has to say. So yeah, he has very, very strong words. So the Me'iri, he then quotes from the Me'iri, that we see Talmidei Chacham that know a lot of Gemara, and still they don't know a single thing in Halacha. Why? Because they're so involved, again, not in just this straight analysis of figuring out what the Gemara has to say, how to bring that down, la Halacha. The Gemara in Erev in Daf Yud Gimel and Beis says, "Golev Yadvel Lefne Misha Amar Valya Olam Shein Bedorish L'Rameir Kamoso." Now he gets into historically. He says, "Well, wait a second. Was every Chacham in the Tanaim and the Amoraim like me?" Rav Avadi said, "Were they all, you know, straight shooters? You know, just thinking the most Derech Hayashar without the Pilpulim and the Harifos?" And he says, "We find people. We find Gedolei Tanaim and Amoraim that were called Charif." That's how they were, right? They were known to be very sharp and always coming up with a chiddush and a new angle and whatever. So he says, is that bad? So he says, we know that the Gemara in Erevin tells us that in Reb Meir's generation there was no genius like Reb Meir. But says the Gemara in Erevin, that same line, Umne ma lo pasku alacha kamoso. So why don't we ever passing like Reb Meir? Shalom du chaver of Elsof Daito. Because you couldn't follow his logic. People couldn't follow where his mind was going. It was so creative and so different, and he always had such a different perspective. He would say something that's Tameh, it's Tahar, and he'd be able to convince you because you wouldn't be able to follow all the steps. You wouldn't be able to know where he's going with it. So Rav Avadia takes that not as a raya that it's okay to learn that way, because look, Rav Meir learned that way, but that's why we don't paskin like him, because we can't, that's not the way to paskin. And he says, that's what the Mishnah Brachos says, even though Beis Shammai is Mechadedi Tfei. Beis Shammai was much sharper than the Beis Hillel. So how do we paskin? Like the Beis Hillel. Because we're not interested in who's sharper. We're interested in who has the more yashar way of paskining. So Rav Avadya then goes to the big machlokas in Horios and other places. Sinai adif o oker harim adif. What's a better way of learning? Someone who's a Sinai, who has a bikius, who knows everything, or an oker harim. So can you guess which way Rav Avadya is going to say? So he says, clearly the Gemara says that a Sinai is adif, and that's the way we paskin. The Gemara says it explicitly. And he says, aye, but wait a second, I have a kasha. The Gemara in Horios says, Rabba was an oker harim. Rabba was into the analysis and the depth and the chidushim. Rav Yosef was a Sinai. Rav Yosef knew everything. Right? Rav Yosef, we find all over Shas that he's called a Sinai. So he says, but wait a second. Kari Rav Yosef and Nafshev, Rav Tos B'Koch, right? 1 second, where's this kasha over here? Yeah, so he says, but what, how do we paskin? Machlokas Rabba Rav Yosef. Rabba Rav Yosef, halacha kerabba. If a Sinai is adif, why are we always passing like Rabba? He says, that's going against everything I just told you. I just told you that the guy who's charif and the guy who's mechadidi tvei, don't ever paskin like that guy. Meaning he may be very smart and he may know how to live. Don't ever paskin like that guy. But how can we paskin like Rabba then? So he says a big chiddush. He says, I think when we say that Rabba was an oker harim, that's referring to Rabba very early on in his life. Because how long did Rabba live? Rabba lived in his entire life. His entire life was 40 years. That's what the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches says in Tosafot there. That Rabba lived for 40 years in total. He was Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years. Meaning, he became Rosh Yeshiva at the age of 18. After Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef was a Sinai, Rabba was an Oker Harim, says Rav Avadya. That means, while Rav Yosef was still alive, Rabba was an Oker Harim. After Rav Yosef died and Rabba became the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabba realized he's going to have to lead the Jewish people. And as a leader of the Jewish people, he needs to become a Sinai. So he became a Sinai. And that's why Rabba Rav Yosef, halacha k'rabba, because Rabba ended up becoming a very great Sinai. That's what that's what Rav Avadya suggests, you know, based on several achronim. That must be why we paskin like Rabba. What about Abaye and Rava? How do we paskin as machlok as Abaye and Rava? So we always paskin like Rava, except for Yal Kigam, except for six cases. Why? He says, because Abaye was the one that was more charif and more into the pilpul. Same reason. That's why Abaye says, Hareini keben azai b'shukei tveria. Meaning, that's what he says in Kiddushin Daf Chaf. I'm so sharp, I'm like ben azai b'shukei tveria. That's what Abaye says about himself. So you see, Abaye was very charif. But Rava was very straight in his learning. And that's how we always pass him like the one who's more straight in his learning. So that's paragraph 6 in the Hakdama, that one should be straight in his learning, straightforward, not to be the most charif.
Huh? I think Rav Avadya was both.
No, charif doesn't mean, when he says charif, he doesn't mean like someone who's not afraid to say it like it is, or not afraid to criticize people. Charif, he means in the sharpness of his mind in the learning, meaning in how twisted he could make something. Like, but if you say it this way and that way, and you
is it badly? Sorry.
What?
He's talking about twisted badly.
Like, no, meaning if it's hard to describe. If you learn, open up Yechavadas. Any of Rav Avadya's tshuvas in Yechavadas. Rav Storch was just doing over the Shloshim. Rav Storch has been through Shloshim, learning one tshuva in Yechavadas every day. Very beautiful thing to do. You open up Yechavadas, and what jumps out at you is how clear and straight the tshuvas go. There's no. But there's this and the cheshbon, and what if you hold like that sheet over there and this sheet over there, and then if you put them all together and you know turn it upside down, then maybe it would come out this way, which is ingenious, you know, to have all these pilpulim and chidushim. He doesn't do any of that. He says there's a Gemara, there's a machlokes rishonim had a paskin in the Gemara. There's a achronim that say we paskin like this rishon in this case and that rishon in that case. Good. What's our case? Is our case more like A? Is our case more like B? Very clear. You can put it all into boxes. It fits. It flows very nicely. So that's what he's advocating. Instead of being very showing off your genius and your creativity, show off just that you could read it straight, that you know how to organize a sugya properly. That's what his point is. Charifos, not in the sense that he's critical of other people. Charifos over here just means sharpness and a showing off of a type of analytical genius. So then he says, but wait a second. Yeah, we said Sinai no ker harim, Sinai is better, right? That's clear, says Rav Avadia. Even bizman hazeh, what makes a Sinai better? Sinai is better because you need to know the information before you could pass on anything, right? You need to at least know the information that's out there. But bizmanenu, you know how you'll know the information? Buy a Bar Ilan CD or a whole bunch of books, right? Fill a library of books, and it's all available to you. You don't need to know by heart. Why do you need to be such a bucky? It's all available. If I don't know a halacha, I can look it up in Shulchan Aruch, and I'll look in Torah Beis Yosef, and it'll send me back to the Gemara, and I'll figure it out from there. Why do I need... So maybe my time shouldn't be spent memorizing all of Shas and memorizing all of Shulchan Aruch. I'll be better off with Sfarim. So who said such an idea? So the Prima Gadim in Eshel Avram, Simon Kuf Lamed Vav, said such an idea. He quotes from the, this is in Ozayin of the Akdama on page 4 over here. He quotes from the El Yerabba in the name of the Shira Knesset HaGadolah. A Talmud Chacham who's a Baal HaRah gets an aliyah to the Sefer Torah before a Talmud Chacham, a Fulpol. A Talmud Chacham that's a Pilpol, that's Lamdin. So the Prima Gadim says, because Sinai is better than Ochar Harim, that's why if you have to decide who you're going to give an aliyah to, give it to the Posek before you give it to the Lamdin. Says Rav Shlomo Kluger on that Prima Gadim, you can't prove anything from the Gemara that Sinai is better. Shebizmanim lo hayu svarim nitfasim. They didn't have any printed books. So of course you're going to say, give it to the Posek. But nowadays we have all these printed books, so maybe not. Maybe you should give it to the Rosh Shiva rather than the Posek. So says Rav Avadia, first of all, that comment of Rav Shlomo Kluger is against the Shalos Tshuvos Mari Kolon and other Achronim that say that it's not true, that even when we have printed books, still the Sinai is better. Second of all, even Rav Shlomo Kluger just said that there's no Raya from Shas, that you can't bring a Raya from Shas that you should necessarily give the Aliyah to the Posek, rather than to the Rosh Yeshiva, rather than to the Talmud Chacham of Fulpo. But, doesn't mean that it's wrong, could still be that that's the Halacha. So, and he says, furthermore, when even if you say an Okar Harim is Adif, we're talking about a Talmud Chacham who's able to be Masik Shmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa with his pilpul, who's able to arrive at clear halachic conclusions with his pilpul. Like the Gemara in Tumura Daf Tazayin says that Elif Ushva Meos Halachos V'Kal V'Chomer G'zer Shavin Nischad Shubi Me'evlo Shal Moshe V'Kula Nechziron Asnil Ben Kenaz Mitoch Pilpulo, that Asnil Ben Kenaz was able to bring back halachos with pilpul, not with a mesorah, but with pilpul. He said, that's what we mean by pilpul. There's no, that's the good kind of pilpul. But nowadays, we're not talking about people like that. We're talking about people who just don't learn halacha and are unable to really have a derech in halacha because they're too interested in saying over nice chidushim. And then again, in Oschas, he continues to go to town on this. And the people, yeah.
So Ravadia has nothing against intrinsically pilpul, just against pilpul without a direct derivation into halacha?
Yeah, well, he does think it's a waste of time. He seems to think it's a waste of time. Meaning, until you're baki in halacha, what are you doing? Why would you be involved in that? He has a different definition of it. A Gemara b'yin means to get the shito straight and bring it down to the Torah Beis Yosef. Good. So what about the briskers? So he talks about the briskers very directly in Os Tess. And again, you should realize what we're presenting is one man's opinion, more than one man, but we're presenting Rav Avadia's take. I'm sure if you heard a shir from Rav Mishua Soloveitchik, he would have equally charif things to say against Rav Avadia's style in learning and about the briskers. It's important to know the different perspectives that are out there. This is Rav Avadia's take. So Rav Avadia writes in Os Tess, and what about the briskers? He doesn't say the briskers, but it's clear that he's talking about the briskers. If you look in the fourth line, he says, V'lo kimosha noagim miktsas tamidei chachamim b'yeshivos mesuyamos. Not like certain rabbis in certain yeshivos. Sha'oskim b'kolz manam b'pilpul b'seder kachim v'taros. Sherim noagim klal b'zmanazeh. You know, those guys that learn kachim and taros all day. Which yeshivas learn only kachim? Well, it's the brisker, right? The brisk in yeshivas brisk. That's what they learn. They learn only kachim. Ela hilchasa l'mashicha. They're learning hilchasa l'mashicha. Halachas are going to be knowing when Mashiach comes. Shei b'vchinas drosh l'kabel schar, which you only learn to be mekabel schar, but it has nothing, bearing on halacha l'maisa. Vilu binyanim anoagim b'zman hazeh ein lem chelik v'nachala. But it comes to anything that's actually knowing b'zman hazeh, and they don't know anything. Ve'ena b'kiyim afilu b'ilchas Shabbos, b'ilchas tefila, brachos. They don't know the most basic things. Hilchas Shabbos, ilchas tefila, ilchas brachos that apply every single day. Gam binyanim anogin bofen tmidi. Upa'amim rabbel shenich shalim gam bedvarim ayidum afilu balei batim akvum itim l'torah baruch chayim yoredeya. He says these great Rosh Yeshiva don't know as much as your average balabas who learns kitzur shulchan aruch in terms of how to keep Shabbos, in terms of the halachos of Shabbos and brachos, because they're too worried about kachim. He says, you know, you can go back in history and find much earlier rabbis who scream about this. Birchas mezona lo garminan vasniya masninan. The Gemara Brachas has an expression. You don't even know how to say a bracha, and you're sitting here trying to say a shir. What kind of shir? You don't even know how to say a bracha. You have to know how to say the basic things that come up all the time. Rabbi Yonis Naipshitz writes in Yaros Tavash that anyone who doesn't learn Hilchos Shabbos clearly and chazu them several times, two, three times clearly, there's no way such a person is going to be able to avoid Chil Shabbos, either in a Malacha D'Oraisa, in some sort of Isra Shvus D'Rabbanan. It's just too common. There's too much. Everything you do on Shabbos somehow connects back to Halacha, and you need to know these things. So someone who's going to learn Kachem all day is not going to be a Baki in Hilchos Shabbos. It's always going to be Bali De Safik Chil Shabbos. It's always going to be a problem. The Gemara Menachos Taf Kuf Yud Tamini Chama Oskim Behilchus Avoda Mala Leim Al Kasuf Kilo Nivna Beis Hamikdash B'Yameim. So says Rav Vadya, wait a second. All the briskers are going to tell me, no, Rav Vadya, you're wrong, because the Gemara Menachos says that anyone who learns Halachos of Avoda, it's Kiilu the Beis Hamikdash was built in their day. Says Rav Vadya, yes, of course. I learned Menachos also. I learned Zvachim also. But Kol Zel Achar Shehishlim Chavaso BeYediyas UbeBekius Adinim Anitzrachim LaHalachol Leivaisa. That comes later. First, you need to learn all the things that are nogeh halacha lemaisa, like the Shulchan Aruch Harav writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah. In Shulchan Aruch Harav, we have to be very careful to make sure we know what's most important first, and then go on to learn kachim and learn all of these other things. So he says, I'm not against learning kachim. I'm against spending all your time learning kachim and not knowing Hilchos Shabbos and not knowing Hilchos Brachos. I think you need to know some basics first, says Rav Vadya. And then in paragraph 10, he starts getting into achronim. He starts talking about the value of achronim. And he says, if you want to really paskin properly, and this again is another step that not everyone would agree with about how important it is to know achronim, he says, it's important to read achronim va'achronei achronim. Achronei achronim. What does he mean by achronei achronim? Meaning, even he quotes all the time people that were younger than him, people that his children, his friends. He quotes all anyone who wrote a sefer, he'll quote it. And he, what is your time really best spent? Meaning, Rav Vadya realizes that you can ask a kash on him. Is your time really best spent reading a sefer that was written by some Talmud Chacham that's 40 years younger than you, rather than analyzing and sitting over a Rashba? No, wouldn't you be much better off spending all that time, you know, sitting over and analyzing a Rashba than instead of reading the Minchas Pinchas, whatever? I don't know, you know, some Achron who just wrote something. I don't know. There might be a Sefer Minchas Pinchas. I don't know if there is. If there is, I wasn't criticizing it. I just made up a name of a Sefer. There is such a Sefer?
I wasn't going to say comment about Minchas Pinchas.
Oh yeah, okay. So that's funny. So he says in paragraph 10, "Vinei arotz lezakos lechavin lamita shel Torah lahoros halach lemaisa bevadai shalav lechapes heitav b'sifrei achronim achronim achronim." You gotta look in the achronim. Asher heim lanu le'enayim v'yazaris v'niska litfo kal dilsos adlasos sifrei makadoshim. They'll give us hadracha. They'll show us the right path in Paskin Alachas. Gvar Omr Chazal, Ra Acharah Tavol the Mishnah Tukei Atzmal the Dvar Alacha. Kigon Dain the Dasi Dina the Kamei VeGamar Alachu Medam Milsa the Milsa VeIslei Rabba VeLo Azul the Mishnah the Rabbi. He says this is a basic halacha that if you have a rabbi that you can ask a shaila to, you have a rebbe that you can ask a question to, you have to go to the rebbe, you have to ask the shaila to your rebbe. Don't assume that you know everything. You have to always ask the Rebbe. And who are our Rebbeim b'zmanenu? It's our Svarim. Our Svarim are our Rebbeim. So we always have to consult with our Svarim first. So in Osios Machkimos, you look at the letters and it will help you. You look at the words in the Svarim and it will help clarify the Inyanim for us. He says, B'prat b'zman hazeh, where people forget things so easily. He says, and he goes on and on about this for a while. that it's also the Talmud Lahoros B'Makom Rabo. Rav Shechter mentions this a lot also, that there is halach in Ali B'Mora halacha B'Fnei Rabo. Nowadays, I think Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav that Rav Soloveitchik used to like to always look in Sfarim before paskening, based on this idea that our Ikar Rebbeim now are our Sfarim, so you shouldn't paskin just off the cuff. A person should always look inside a Sefer before paskening, otherwise it's a violation of being Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabo. Okay, it's a very long paragraph. He goes on about that. And then in Osir Aleph, he says, but particularly in Dine Mamanus, it's very important to learn what the Achronim have to say. Because in Dine Mamanus, there's a concept called Kimli. Are you familiar with that concept? And there's a machlokas in Dina Mamanus. Even if we might be inclined to paskin like A, the guy can say, Kimli, I hold like B, and therefore you can't take money away from me. So says Rav Vadi, you got to know that there is a B before anyone could say Kimli like B. Right? You have to know who says what. So you have to find out every shita that's out there. So he said, particularly in Dina Mamanus, you need to know everything. You need to really have every shita that's out there. However, Rav Vadia says, and this in paragraph Yud Beis, he says, I have to say one more thing about Achronim. Whereas when it came to Rishonim, Rav Vadia says, I made a big deal about how we don't argue with Rishonim. We sit there trying to figure out what the Rishonim held, but we never have the chutzpah to argue with Rishonim. He says that's not true with Achronim. With Achronim, we could argue with Achronim. Does that mean if I'm arguing with an Achronim, it means that I think I'm better than them? If I say that I'm going to argue, says Rav Vadia, I'm going to argue on the Mishnah Berurah, it means I think I'm greater than the Chafetz Chaim? No, it doesn't mean I think I'm greater than the Chafetz Chaim. He says it's Beferish Gemara, the Gemara in Kiddushin. Afilo a Rav Talmido Nasim Kaivim Zalazeh Vesvev Besufa. A Rebbe and a Talmud should argue. They should fight over the halacha, and they'll love each other even more at the end. But they're allowed to argue. They're allowed to argue in the halacha. The Talmud is allowed to argue on the Rebbe in the halacha. That's the way that Yiftach Bedoro Kishmul Bedoro. Later generations, we have to trust in our generation as much as we would trust Shmuel in his generation. Lo saguru mipnei ish. You can't be afraid, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, can't be afraid of somebody just because they're greater than you. Rav Moshe talks about this also. Someone, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this. Someone criticized Rav Moshe. How could you argue with Rabbi Kiva Eger? Are you saying you're greater than Rabbi Kiva Eger? Rav Moshe says, no, I'm not saying I'm greater than Rabbi Kiva Eger. I'm saying that I'm entitled to an opinion, because I think I know how to learn a little bit, so I'm entitled to an opinion. So if I'm entitled to an opinion, That's it. You don't have to be greater than Rabbi Kiva Eger to argue with Rabbi Kiva Eger. You just need to be entitled to an opinion. Rav Moshe writes, you might disagree with that. You might think I'm not entitled to an opinion, that I don't know how to learn well enough to be. So if that's the case, then I'm not chinami. Then I shouldn't be arguing with Rabbi Kiva Eger. But you don't need to be greater than Rabbi Kiva Eger to argue with Rabbi Kiva Eger. So Avadi says, you got to be very careful. It's a delicate balance. When it comes to Rishonim, we're never allowed to argue. When it comes to Achronim, we need to use them. We need to use them. We need to read the Achronim. We need to see what they say, because it will give us perspective. And it's always, like I was saying in the talk last week about giving a shir. Find out how other people said over a shir on that same topic you want to give a shir. It will give you a new perspective. It will broaden your mind. It will help you appreciate what's out there and how to present something. So Rav Vadia says, in learning also, find out what the Achronim say. You may not agree, and that's okay also. You don't have to agree. But to know what they say is very, very critical. And then at the very end, in the last paragraph, in Osi Gimel, he says, Ube emes, shafal pishur shinu lachlok al divra poskim achronim. I just told you you're allowed to argue on the Achronim, kishiyesh lanu rayos nechonos, when you have good proofs, v'achros misodos ala nepaz, and really strong ideas, mikol makom tzrichim lishlot beruchenu ledabir ba'anava tahora. But still, try to control ourselves. We need to try to control ourselves to speak with the requisite amount of humility. We should appreciate who these people are. Meaning, yeah, argue on Rabbi Kiva Eger, make sure you have at least a little bit of a havana of who Rabbi Kiva Eger is before you open your mouth and say, he's wrong, it's silly, what a ridiculous thing to say. Don't talk like that when you talk about Rabbi Kiva Eger. Meaning, if anyone ever had the zuchus, think about how you feel when you talk to Rav Nevinsel. Think about how I feel when I talk to Rav Shechter. And you think about how Rav Shechter's wife once described to me how funny it was to watch him talk to the Rav. That he was trembling. He was trembling in front of the way you would be in front of Rav Nevinsel. The way just trembling in front of the Rav. And the Rav, the way he would talk about Reb Chaim, So we have no idea, we have no asug of who these people are. We can't even be masik like a kutzo shel yud of their godless. We don't even reach their toenails. So are we allowed to argue? It's crazy, but yeah, we're allowed to argue, which is wild. It's unbelievable. It's that we're allowed to argue with such people. Not we. I'm saying that people like Rav Vadia are allowed to argue with such people. It's wild that he's allowed to argue with such people. So at least do it with humility, says Rav Vadia. At least when we're arguing with people like that, it should be done with a sense of humility. And with that approach, we'll be able to paskin the halachas correctly. And he concludes, Yiratzon Shehashem Yisbarach Yar Aleinu Ruach Kedusha Mimarom. Hashem should give me a Ruach Kedusha from on high. V'yanichenu b'maglei tzedek l'man shemo. V'yirbu gavuleinu b'talmidim. Hashem should give me many talmidim. And there should be achva, shalom, reyus. And we should be matzliach in paskin the halachas correctly, and the sefer should be accepted in Klal Yisrael. Amen. Kenei Ratzon. Okay.